12:19, Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. Happy to welcome in one of the busiest guys in Chicago, Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern University Central DuPage Hospital. I've now also started calling you Chicago's version of Dr. Sanjay Gupta. I hope that's okay.
Good morning, Dean. How are you doing?
You are, when you want credible medical information, Kevin is the guy who dishes it out on radio and TV in Chicago. How are you doing through all of this? I'm so concerned about people who are in the healthcare profession right now, because it's just such a difficult, trying time. You know, we all think we're at risk. You guys are 100 times more at risk than the average person.
Yeah, and we appreciate the concern, and we appreciate, you know, the thoughts and prayers that everyone is putting out for healthcare workers. We're in trying times right now. We're and in the planning stage for what is going to be a big tsunami, and we just need to try to stay positive. So anything you can do to, you know, say thanks to a healthcare worker right now is going to be very important as we go into these next few months.
So what's been your take, Kevin, with all the talk now of vaccines and medications that are approved and not approved? And, I mean, it's become a little bit of a political football. But where are we realistically with all of this, hopes for a vaccine now?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think the vaccine portion of it right now, let those individuals work on it. But what we really need to focus on right now is what's happening right now. We are Americans. We look for the quickest fix. Can I get a vaccine? Can I get a medication? Okay. But right now, we need to try to contain this as much as we can. So that should be the focus of all your listeners, should be, let's not worry about the vaccine. Let's not worry about medications right now. Let's do what we can to make sure this isn't spreading. That being said, the vaccine, it's interesting how quickly we could get that in place, because you have to remember the vaccine we're looking at is really important for those over the age of, say, 60, 65, 70. So very difficult to do studies on those individuals right now because we're trying to protect them as much as possible. The medications, you know, a lot of these are anecdotal. You know, out of France, we hear that this medication worked or this medication. At least here, we at least have some time to get our arms around that. And actually, we'll be doing studies so that if this were to come back in the fall, we would have good data and know which medications work versus us hearing there's 10 different medicines that work when, in fact, maybe two of the 10 actually do work.
What is your thought about this word that's come out yesterday that there might be a test that can tell you whether or not you are positive for COVID-19 in 45 minutes?
Yeah, that's huge. We're very fortunate across Chicago, and at least with the Northwestern system, that it's something we've been asking for and we have the equipment for. So we're hoping that really by early this week, instead of that test taking 24 to 48 hours, we'll have that test turned around in an hour. That being said, if you look and saw what happened in New York and California, they're stopping doing testing of the general public and saying we need to focus on those who are taking care of the vulnerable populations and our healthcare workers. So there's going to be a little balance there as far as more testing, but how are we going to use it appropriately?
It's also confusing as well because, you know, we're hearing that you can be positive for COVID-19 and not even know it, that you could be walking around, which, you know, kind of begs, why don't we test people if they might be walking around positive, which has had good results in Korea, where they're testing people by the hundreds of thousands there, so they can find out what's what and who's who.
Yep. And if we could have done that 3 weeks ago, that would have been great. Or a month ago, that would have been great. Right now, I'm telling everybody, assume you are positive. So the shelter in place is one thing, social distancing, wash your hands, do all those things. Pretend you are positive right now, because our goal right now is to curtail or flatten that curve. Yeah, and you hear that lingo all the time, flatten the curve. Well, it's reality now, because unfortunately, this disease has been in our communities now for a few weeks, and it's spread. So we are going to start to see the repercussions of us not social distancing, not listening to what experts have been saying over the past month, And now it's going to be pushed onto the hands of the healthcare workers to say, okay, we have to deal with this.
Are you satisfied with the way the curve is going in other countries that were affected by this before the United States?
No, not at all. You know, it's not encouraging yet when you look at the numbers from Italy, which we do every single morning, to see that they haven't peaked yet. You know, when you look, and to be honest with you, the China information, we're all taking it with a grain of salt. We don't think we may not have gotten good information initially, so not so sure their information now. So really, we look at Spain and Italy as our sources of truth, and unfortunately, they are still ramping up, and we really would like to see them start to flatten their number of cases, their number of deaths, because that's going to give us a better time frame. That being said, we look at the Italy population. We know it's an older population. They live in very condensed areas, and it's a homogeneous population. But for the most part, they're fairly healthy. So we're trying to figure out how to use all this data in real time.
Yeah, but it'll give you some sort of time frame, won't it, of incubation and how this may or may not be spreading, what people should or should not do. It's the only time frame that we have, really, right?
Absolutely. You know, there's predictive modeling models out there that everybody is using right now. A lot of universities have them. So we're using one from Northwestern. The data is this, the N, the number of cases, is low right now. So the predictive modeling is a little bit more difficult. But we're using every asset we can to try to predict when it's going to hit, how bad it's going to hit, and what our needs are going to be to take care of the population as safely as we can.
So talking about needs, you know, what we're hearing, there are no masks, there are no ventilators. You know, the supplies that healthcare workers need for their own protection and to treat others are critically low. Is that what you're seeing with your personal experience as well?
Yeah, you know, we are seeing, and we have concerns more about the future than we do like right now. Like, we have supplies now, but we have to be good stewards of those supplies because we know what's coming. So the mask issue, absolutely positively. Do we have enough N95s? We don't. So what are we starting to do? Figure out how we can sterilize the ones we have instead of it making a single use, make it multiple uses. Trying to extend the life of any of the supplies we have that will allow us to take care of this the shortage. Ventilators are another issue. You can't just snap your finger. It's easier to make a mask than it is a ventilator. But that being said, we're starting to look at unique things about ventilators. You know, ventilators are actually built so that two people can be on the same ventilator at the same time. So we're starting to look at those and trying to figure out exactly how we can maximize the assets that we have.
I want to open up our phone lines and our text lines for questions for Dr. Kevin Most. 312-981-7200 is our telephone number. People are asking about, it says, ask Dr. Most what drug they are using now for people who have the virus. That's another thing where there's a lot of confusion because we're hearing different things from government officials about, you know, what is effective, what isn't effective, what, you know, the president has a good feeling about something. The medical experts are, you know, walking a cautious line with some of that. It's very confusing.
It is. It's extremely confusing. And there's been some unfortunate comments that have been made because now we think we have a medication that's going to be able to do this. So the medication that they're talking about is one called chloroquine. And if you haven't heard of it before, it's because it's a medication we use for malaria. So a lot of use in Asia, Africa, where malaria is prevalent. Not so much use here unless you're going to Africa on a safari. So that being said, you can imagine the need that they would have had in those countries and now try to multiply that on top of the entire world wanting that. So that drug is possibly going to be effective. But the studies are still not done. So it's one, when you don't have any options, are we trying it? If we can get our hands on it, yes. But I could tell you there's a huge national back order on chloroquine. There's probably about 10 other drugs that we're looking at. I can tell you at Northwestern, one of our goals is to do this in an organized way so that if this comes back in the fall, we actually know which medications are going to be helpful. And we're going to be able to tell those manufacturers, these are the ones to ramp up on. If we just do it blatantly broadly, we're not going to have good answers, and we're going to be in the same place we were 6 months from now.
A lot of people on our text line, Kevin, asking, if you get COVID-19, can you get it again once you get over it the first time?
Yep. $1 million question, and I'll explain why. So we've talked in the past, Dean, there's 7 coronaviruses. 4 of them are the common cold, and 3 of them are what we call novel. That's SARS, MERS, and COVID. We know that you can get the common cold more than one time. Certainly, we would all hope that you only had to get a cold once for the coronavirus and that you'd have immunity for it. Does not appear that that's the case, obviously, as we all get colds throughout the year. This one we don't know enough about. And the reason I say it's important is if we're going to make a vaccine, is it going to be a one-time vaccine that's going to give you protection over 5, 6, 10 years? Or if I've had the illness, do I even need the vaccine because I have protection? So those are the biggest issues right now. Or is it going to be a vaccine like influenza that if I want to protect myself or a loved one from COVID, do I have to get that vaccine every year? So those are the unknowns right now, which we're studying as closely as we possibly can on any individuals who have had COVID, tested positive, and now are healthy. We're starting to look at their blood to say, what immunity do you have now?
847 area code is asking, does it make any difference of the temperature of the water that you use to wash your hands? I had that question also. I don't know if I should be using scalding hot water, that would be better, or lukewarm water. Is it better to use soap and water than it is the squirts of hand sanitizer?
Yeah, 100%. Soap and water for 20 to 30 seconds is just as good as the gel sanitizers, which have between 60 and 80% alcohol, and they denature the virus so that the virus can't live. So as far as the temperature of the water, to be honest with you, it's more about comfort. The temperature of there is not going to do anything except make you comfortable to a point where you're going to continue to wash your hands for the appropriate time. If you have cold water, you're going to wash your hands very quickly and try to be done.
Right.
If you really wash your hands, think about next time you wash your hands, how you do it. Are you getting the back of your hand? Are you getting in between your fingers? People wash their hands quickly and they wash their palms and they think that that's it. When in fact, we really do a poor job of hand washing just as individuals across the world.
I'm washing my hands so much, my fingers are now permanently pruny from being in the water so much. And
yeah.
I guess that's a good thing, that means that I'm under soap and water more often than not. This is Tom in Logan Square. You're on WGN.
Hi, Dr. Most. I have a question that I haven't, and I have an idea that I haven't really heard anyone come up with about free housing for the healthcare workers near the hospital. My daughter's a nurse who actually got knocked out of the game real early and had to get quarantined, but she's getting ready to go back. She had a slight exposure. But when people come home from the hospital, the potential of infecting family members is high. And there's all these empty hotels sitting downtown, and my idea was to house people near where they work. They could walk to work. It would keep them off public transportation. It would keep them out of the taxis and the Ubers. And your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Tom, it's a great question. And there's a couple issues there. One is quarantining an individual. How do you do that in a house full of people, especially ones that have young kids or older individuals, because they're going to get that home exposure. I can't tell you what other health systems have done. I can tell you what Northwestern has done. We have contacted hotels. We have 10 hospitals in our system. We have contacted hotels in each area, and they have given us very substantial discounts and rates so that we can put employees there so that they can keep themselves safe and their family safe and actually get a little respite. So we've done it. I would imagine others have as well. But every single hospital that we have agreements with local hotels, not so much like downtown in Streeterville where you can walk to 15 different hotels. You get out in Winfield, in Huntley, in St. Charles, or in Geneva, there's a little driving, but there's still local hotels, which allows them to protect their family is the biggest goal.
What about...
Okay, well, my daughter's at the downtown Northwestern, actually. Do you know of any hotels down there with that agreement?
Yeah, if she works for Northwestern, she can actually go online, and they have all the hotels that we have agreements with, as well as the discounted rates that we have negotiated with them.
Yeah, if you check with the hospital, they definitely should be able to find something like that for you. What about when people go to the store, when they go to get gas, when they go to outside of their social isolation for basic services? What do they need to do when they come back? Do they need to wash their clothes? Do they need to sanitize the things that they are bringing back into the home?
Yeah, it's a question that we're having, especially with healthcare workers, is, does this live on our clothes? It certainly does. But to be honest with you, your biggest opportunity is with your hands and your face. Don't touch your face, wash your hands, and try to protect your hands. So if you're going to go to get gas, wear a glove, because whoever used it before you may not have, and we don't clean gas pumps. When you go to grocery stores, a lot of them have the towels there that they can wash the towel or wash the cart. That's another thing. And one of the biggest things I tell people right now is don't use money. Please use credit or debit cards. Money is filthy. You might hand a clean $20 bill to a clerk, but that clerk now, with her hand, is taking money that someone else gave her. And we know that bacteria and viruses live on money.
You know what? I sanitized my credit card this morning. I paid for a cup of coffee on my way into the radio station this morning. And, I handed my credit card. She didn't have the clerk didn't have gloves on, hands me the card back. So I sanitized my card because I thought, well, there could be cooties on my credit card. and then did my own hands after that. So I've become super conscious. I'm wearing my, if I don't, I have the rubber gloves, like surgical gloves, like you guys have, I just wear my winter gloves around. That works just as well, doesn't it? As long as I'm not touching my face or, whatever germs might be on the gloves that I don't move to my face.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all a matter of not touching your face and protecting your hands. So, if you wear gloves to the grocery store, great. I was in a grocery store yesterday. A lot of people are wearing gloves. That's great. When you get home, wash your hand, take your gloves off, wash your hands, and you're again back to the most safest place that you could be because you didn't expose yourself to anything at the store.
Yeah, and you don't want to reuse those gloves, right? Because you may have contaminated the gloves. It's not like you can take them off and set them aside and put them back on again because the virus could still be living on those gloves. Depending on what
gloves you have, if you have bleach at home and you're going to want to reuse those gloves, then go ahead and wash them with bleach. They'll be fine.
Okay.
If they're disposable, go ahead and dispose of them. And Dean, one thing I would say too, I went to the grocery store yesterday and I unfortunately saw probably a half a dozen individuals that I'm sure were over the age of 70. This is an opportunity for people to pay it forward. If you have somebody in your neighborhood that's over 70, they shouldn't have to go out. Please do that for them. Let's protect them. That's very important right now.
Yeah, I know neighbors are helping neighbors. I told a story last week that when I was at the grocery store last week, with the frenzy, I mean, literally, people were I saw somebody grab something out of somebody's arms this morning. there were a few little containers of the sanitized wipes, and one guy took three of them off the shelf, and somebody literally took one of them. Now, three is too many. Come on, be courteous of others. But somebody literally grabbed one out of his arms and kept going with it. But I saw seniors in the store last week who, they couldn't take all the frenetic energy that was going on. So I just, I went by one and said, if you just tell me what you want, you stay right here and I'll go get what you want. And I'll bring it to you. If we can help people any way possible, especially people who are elderly or people who are in wheelchairs, things like that, it's more difficult to deal with all this.
It is. It's time for us as humans to step up and act as a team. Believe it or not, even though you don't know your teammates, you want to protect those around you and you want to also help them. Like I said, it was at Juul. One thing I thought was great at Juul, they have a bunch of restrictions on them. You can only have one of this. Right. You get to the front of the line and you have four, we're only checking out one. The other three are going back.
Right. Yeah,
I like seeing that.
That guy that was trying to hoard the sanitized wipes this morning, I don't know what happened at the checkout line, but they did have a limit. Lisa, 312-981-7200, you're on WGN.
Hi, good morning, Dr. Mostein. So try to follow along with my question.
Uh-oh.
It's kind of long.
Uh-oh.
My daughter-in-law is a surgical nurse at one hospital. Her sister-in-law is respiratory at another hospital. Her sister-in-law was diagnosed with the virus. They were together 2 days before she was diagnosed. So my daughter-in-law contacted her supervisors at her hospital to let them know. And they said, oh, as long as you're asymptomatic, still go into work. But isn't that how it spreads?
Well, Lisa, it's a great question that we're seeing over and over and over again as we've seen cases here. What we're really concerned about now is obviously the spread. So your sister, well, I'm not sure which one, but the one that's still going to work, whether it was your daughter or sister.
Right.
Yep. She should be doing everything she possibly can, including monitoring her symptoms, monitoring anything that goes on. Right now, we've had so many people with that one-off exposure that if we took everybody that had that one-off exposure and kept them out of work, we would be shutting down hospitals.
Okay.
I went to the grocery store. I have a chance that I got exposed. So we really need to start looking now at healthcare providers. Do they have symptoms? And highlighting to all of us, and we know it better than anybody, how to protect ourselves and to protect the patients we serve.
Thanks for the call very much. Jim, you're on WGN. Hello.
Hi, guys. I'm a truck driver. I basically haul just in the local area. But another driver called me about 15 minutes ago and said somebody's recommending that when truck drivers get home at the end of the day, they strip down out of the clothes they're wearing, take a shower, and then immediately wash those clothes. I hadn't heard that from anybody else.
Jim, that's an extreme, but if you want to be as extremely, cautious as you possibly can, I've told truck drivers, Uber drivers, the big thing you want to do is keep your environment as clean as you can. You're getting exposed to people at stores or wherever you're doing your deliveries, so please make sure of that. If somebody coughs directly on you, okay, then I'd be a little bit more concerned about my clothing. But if no one's coughing directly on me, I'm just as safe going to Juul and keeping my same clothes on. If not, we're going to be changing clothes every 3 hours and doing laundry.
All right, Doc. Thanks a bunch. I appreciate it.
Hey, and listen, Jim, I just want to say with you on the phone line, we're thanking people who are out there working, doing all this to, so everybody else can have food, have health care, and all the things. We wouldn't have all that stuff that we have in the stores right now if it wasn't for you truck drivers who are bringing it there. So thank you to all you guys and women who are, out on the road delivering things that we need right now.
Well, Dean, I'll tell you what. I spent 20 years in the Marine Corps. After all the shots I've had, if this gets me, all the more power to it.
Well, you beat all the rest. You can beat this too, Jim.
That's right. I've been all over the world, and I've never gotten anything. So I'm not real concerned about this.
All right. Well, be careful anyway.
I'll tell you, Jim, I echo Dean's comments where, we're looking at healthcare workers and trying to protect them as much as we can. We need to understand who's still keeping the rest of the world up for us to be able to have food, to be able to have those things. So thank you to all of you and your colleagues for doing what you're doing.
Absolutely. Thanks for the call, Jim. Kathy, you're on WGN. Hello.
Hi. You're wonderful. Great show. This morning I woke up and I thought, seriously, I woke up thinking about all of these plastic gloves that people are using once and tossing. And I thought of all the animals who are dying in the ocean because they're ingesting all this. So I was thinking, why don't people try to wear cloth gloves, bring them back into fashion? I'm wearing ones with pearls on them. Get home, wash your hands with the gloves on, and let them dry, use them again. Is that a good idea, or should I go back to bed?
Yeah,
I just want to say, I love that you're wearing pearls on your gloves, by the way.
I have to. Yeah. You have to, you know. I really am.
It's always one in the bunch.
My grandmother's old glove.
What about the cloth glove idea, Kevin?
Yeah, it's a great idea to have any barrier between your skin and what you are potentially touching that could be infected. So skin right on a contact part we're concerned about, because then you're going to touch your face. If you wear gloves, that's outstanding. If you can clean those gloves, that's great. So we know now, too, a little bit about the virus. We know that it can live on plastic for a couple days. We know that it can live on cardboard for about a day. We know that it can live on stainless steel. So one of these other things is with your gloves, if you wash them and let them dry, that's great, especially if you're washing them with soap. And if you say, hey, I can't do that, I'm going to ruin these, put them outside in your garage, 24 hours, 48 hours, they're good to use again.
Well, they should just be, they don't have to be pearly. Oh, that would save so much. That would be good ecologically. Thanks, you guys, for being on, and thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, Kathy, thank you very much for the call. A lot of people, Kev, are texting about wearing cloth face masks. People saying, I would be happy to make masks and donate them. Sewing clubs are saying that they would like to do that. Is that effective to have, you know, something that's just, it's cotton. It's a plain cotton mask.
Yep.
Does that help?
It definitely would. If you think about what we're doing with masks right now, go back to when you used to watch the show MASH, and you saw what we used to use, right? We used to have cloth masks that were then washed and reused. We got to this land of disposables so that we wouldn't have to worry about that. And we've gone full circle now to a point of saying, wait, we're going to run out of disposables. What can we do? So anybody that is now has the opportunity, and I've mentioned this before, this is a time for companies to step up and say, you know what? We make widgets. They don't need widgets, but boy, they need masks. And we could actually make masks with what we have. Those are the ones that are great. The individual sewing them one-on-one is perfect, but if we can mass produce something that can take the place of something we're throwing away, we have a sustainable asset right now that might get us over this hump.
You know, somebody texting in saying, where could I find winter gloves now? The season is over. That may be the case, although I think a lot of stores still have them. But I was thinking even these gardening gloves that are, you know, they're thinner. They're not really designed for warmth. They're just designed for working in the yard. But they are also protection, and I would think that any home improvement store would have gloves like that right now.
Yep, 100%, Dean. And the great thing about those gardening gloves, a lot of them have rubber on their palm.
Right.
So you can still have tactile sources, and you can easily clean those. And they're fairly inexpensive. So instead of using the cloth ones with pearls, use something like that, which we know we can clean quickly with just soap and water, and that don't even need to dry.
Yeah. Are all soaps created equal for washing hands? I mean, should you look for, you know, these antibacterial soaps that you see out there, or is, you know, any kind of soap that you see on the shelf good for washing hands?
Yep, almost all the soaps are going to be fine. And again, it's going to be the length of time as well as using the soap and the friction is what is going to help you. That being said, when we start to look at the gel-based ones, we have to be very careful. There's a lot of entrepreneurs in the world, and there's a lot of people that unfortunately take advantage of situations, and we want to make sure that this doesn't happen here. So the gels, you want to make sure that there's at least 60 to 80% of the content is alcohol, because that's what actually does the damage to the virus. What we're concerned about is individuals now taking something that's 80%, diluting it down to 40, but making sure people have it. They see that it's a gel, they run and grab it, and they're not getting the protection that they need. So just be very careful about the ones that you can get your hands on. Like that guy who had the three in his hand, make sure that they're appropriate or you're just going to be wasting your money.
Right. Now, here's an idea. We heard about the gloves with pearls on them. Here's the 630 area code that says, get bra companies to make masks.
So it's interesting that that came out. It's actually how the N95 mask was actually designed.
Really?
So, yes, it was.
Very, yep. Very interesting. So maybe it's not a, yep. you know, a comedy point anyway. Maybe it's something for real.
Yeah, if you look at the N95 mask now, you know, that's kind of that cup shape is exactly, you know, where these came from. Mm-hmm. So that's where the first N95 mask came from, was actually manufacturers of bras.
Kevin, thank you, as always, for spending some time answering questions, bringing us up to date. I know we're going to hear you plenty during the week. I think you're on with Bob Surratt. I heard a promo announcement earlier that you'll be on tomorrow morning. So we'll get the updates and find out all that's going on. It's constantly changing. Thank goodness you are there to provide that information. It's great to talk to you.
Anytime you need it, Dean, because you get the word. You allow us to get the word to the people. And hopefully I'm giving objective data that's realistic and optimistic, but really asking people to really step up at this time. So I appreciate you giving me the opportunity, and I'm sure we will talk again very soon.
All right, my friend. Thank you. Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital.